Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. And, of course, you know that I'm coming to you live with lots of love and just a touch, not too much of southern flavor from cold Atlanta, Georgia. Well, I want to thank all of you from all over the world for joining me today. And my declaration over your life today is that you are a powerful human being created in the image of God. You are capable and purposeful, and you are making a difference in the world. Well, happy holidays from Atlanta, Georgia. You know we are right in the middle of the holidays. And I hope that you have made a quality decision that it is going to be a joyful and festive time for you and your family. Well, I am doing well here in Atlanta. Yesterday we had snow flurries. And for my international listeners, Atlanta is located in the south, and we might see snow flurries maybe every 2 years. And if we get any snow, it's usually only 1 to 3 inches possibly. So it was a big deal for us southerners to see those snow flurries yesterday. Well, changing the subject just a little bit, last week, you know, I was the one on the other side of the mic. That means that I did my show last week on gratitude, and I have received just a tremendous amount of response from that show. It's been amazing. One listener contacted me and shared that she had been very depressed and was thinking suicidal thoughts, and then she just happened, how many of you all know that nothing just happened, to tune into my show on gratitude, and it changed her spirit and her energy, and she was encouraged. So I'm so grateful that the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show is making a difference in the world. And I want to remind all of you to go back to Blog Talk Radio to listen to some of my archive shows. You might want to listen to Dr. John DeMartini or Lisa Nichols from The Secret, or Scott Anderson, Think Like a Billionaire, or I interviewed Marcia Weider, who is my mentor, featured in the movie Beyond the Secret, or the great Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And, you know, that's a great suggestion because this is the time of year when people usually examine their lives to determine what change do they want to occur in their lives during the upcoming months or years. And so the archive shows will really help and inspire and motivate you to give you direction. And as I stated last week, during the month of December, I am bringing top-notch experts who will be sharing with you how you can begin the change, the life that you desire. So next week, my special guest will be Rebecca Hansen. Rebecca has been studying the Law of Attraction for almost 30 years. She lives in Canada, and she's the author of How to Use the Law of Attraction to Attract Business. And so she's going to be sharing with us great insights next year on the Law of Attraction. But today, we have a diamond with us. That's exactly what I said, a diamond. We have Mr. Simon T. Bailey. And Simon is the author of Release Your Brilliance, The 4 Steps to Transforming Your Life and Revealing Your Genius to the World. And his mission is to reawaken people's genius and help businesses, organizations, and individuals achieve their full potential. And Speaker Magazine recognized him as one of the top hot 25 speakers in the U.S., and boy, can I attest to that. I guess about 30 days ago, I was attending a conference, and as a matter of fact, I was one of the presenters earlier in the morning, and I just felt led to stay for the keynote luncheon speaker, and I had never heard of Simon T. Bailey, and boy, what a phenomenal, amazing, motivational, inspirational speaker he is, and you're going to be so blessed today. So I just want to take this time to welcome Mr. Simon T. Bailey. Simon, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and good to be with you.
And how are you doing?
I am doing swell. Awesome. Outstanding.
And he has a great laugh, and I just want him to, his laugh just sort of cracked me up when I heard him speak. And you're calling from what city?
Calling from Orlando, Florida.
Ah, and the weather there is?
Believe it or not, it's a little cool today here in Florida. It's cool this time of year. Normally we're enjoying 70-degree weather, but it has been cool. Cool meaning 50s.
Well, we're gonna get started, and I'm gonna open up the chat line. And if you have any questions that you wanna ask Simon, you might be a little too shy to call in. You can just type those in, and then I will read them to him. But if you wanna ask him a question, the call in number is 347-326-9837. So, Simon, share with our listeners a little bit about your story before we get into your phenomenal book.
Sure. Well, I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, and 23 years ago, my mom and dad loaded the family station wagon and drove me from Buffalo, New York, down to Atlanta, Georgia, where they dropped me off at Morehouse College. And at the end of my freshman year, they said, "We don't have the money to send you back to school, nor do we have money to bring you back home to Buffalo." So needless to say, I did not feel the love. So I ended up moving into a drug-infested community in the southwest part of Atlanta, Georgia, and only had a mattress on the floor, a bright green beanbag from the 70s, a couple of milk crates turned over with a black and white TV on top of it, with a hanger hanging out of the back of the TV with a piece of aluminum foil wrapped around the hanger. Hopefully everybody has a visual by now.
I do.
And I wasn't poor. I was poor. That's two levels below. And what was interesting about that journey, and during that time, I really felt sorry for myself. I felt sorry for my sad state of affairs. And I realized that if the nuns of St. James Catholic School, where I went to grade school in Buffalo, New York, if they could see me in that state, they would reintroduce the Board of Education to my seat of understanding. So it was that day that I realized that the best hand that will feed me at the end of the day was the one at the end of my wrist. So I had to get up off my blessed assurance, and I had to do something about where I was. And what I discovered, there are three just quick points that really became the foundation for me doing the work that I'm doing now. Number one, it's not who you are that holds you back. It's who you think you're not that holds you back. And sometimes when we go through setbacks, when we go through circumstances that we really don't know how to say, "What just happened to me?" we focus on who we think we're not instead of who we are. Number two, in the words of my good friend Willie Jolly, Willie says, "A setback is a setup for a comeback." So no matter what setbacks I experience in life, I'm just being set up to walk through a new door of phenomenal opportunity. And then the third thing that I would just plant as a seed is when you develop an appetite for the spectacular, you no longer settle for the crumbs of the ordinary. And when you reach that point of really developing that appetite for the spectacular, meaning a new opportunity, a new lease on life, perhaps a new career, a new transition, when you develop that appetite, then you don't settle for what once satisfied you. You begin to reach for more because you believe that you deserve it.
Amazing. And so how do you develop that appetite for more?
Well, you develop that appetite by, first of all, looking at what are all the things that you do now that feed your soul? What feeds your spirit? Because you become what you eat. So if I continue to feed myself with negative news, if I continue to do those things that prevent me from getting the outcomes I want, that's what I become. So I have to reverse it. Number one, I have to think about what am I reading right now? Because leaders are readers, and readers are leaders. So no matter who's listening to us around the world right now, someone is following you somewhere. You are leading someone somewhere. So what are you reading? Because the moment you read words, words are energy. Words are energy, and language is the software of the mind. So if I am to upgrade my life, I must upgrade my intake, because what I intake and what I deposit into my spirit is what I become. Number two, after I read, I must then begin to identify the relationships in my life that are moving me into the future. Now, when we say relationship, you have to put emphasis on a ship. When you break the word relationship down, a ship has everything to do with cargo. So when I understand that each person that I connect with, they are carrying a cargo in them. And the cargo that they are carrying in them, as I begin to relate to them, I am honoring their cargo. And as I honor their cargo, they are moving me into the future. So it's not so much, you know, they say birds of the feather flock together, mm-hmm. but I want to add a 21st century spin on that. Birds of the feather flock together, and they fly to the same place. So who am I in relationship with, and where are they taking me to, because I am following the cargo in their ship? You follow?
That's very interesting. I think Stephen Covey said that you will become like the seven people who you associate with.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So we have to be very mindful of and here's why I put a lot of emphasis on relationship. We have to be mindful that in life we grow in the context of relationship. So I understand when I am relating to someone, each individual is the sum total of what they think, do, say, and feel. So when I connect with someone, they might have an 18 by 20 vision, but I might be living in a 5 by 7 world. So by the mere fact that I connect with them, they stretch me to come up to where they are, because in the context, I create and develop a new concept of what I can be, because the conversation stretches me far beyond my current reality.
Oh, that's great.
So
I'm sure that your friends have drastically changed. Is that right, Simon?
Well, the point, people know that they can't come in my space and continue to be mediocre, that I'm going to push them into their brilliance. I'm going to push them to release what's in them, because we that's what we're supposed to do while we're here on Earth.
Right. Well, I ask every guest that comes on my show about the law of attraction, and when I heard you speak in Atlanta, you briefly mentioned that. How has the law of attraction impacted your life, and what can you share with our listeners about that before we get into your book, Release Your Brilliance?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I teach in Release Your Brilliance, and this is just a precursor, is that when you decide what you want, when you really set your intention to really go forward and to pursue it, and really, Constance, understanding the difference between an emotional commitment and a rational commitment. A rational commitment is, I do what I do because I have to. An emotional commitment is, I do what I do because I want to. And when you set your intention and move to the land of want to, then you set in motion a series of events. You will have inklings, you will have hunches, you will have nudges, and as you begin to pay attention to your intuitive intelligence, which is another way of saying your brilliance, when you begin to pay attention to that, then all of a sudden you will pick up the phone and call someone because you had an inkling or a hunch, and they will say, I was just thinking about you. Or you'll say, you know what, I haven't seen so-and-so in a while. What if I send them an email? What if I follow up with them? When you begin to move in the direction of your future, you discover what you want in the future wants you, and you begin to experience the power of serendipity, happy accidents. You begin to bump into things because you are now pulling the future towards you as you move towards it.
That's very interesting. I want to share with our listeners, and you don't know this, Simon, that when you were in Atlanta, I was one of the presenters in the morning, and initially I could not find a parking space, and so when you were to speak at the luncheon, I had to go out on the street and put some more quarters in there. Mm-hmm. And I said in my mind, I'm going back to my office. But something in me, it was the spirit said, no, go back in and listen to this man. And so I sat in the back because I said, I'm not staying long. If he's not speaking right, I am going home. And when I sat there, when you were talking about a hunch, intuition, moving, the spirit said to me, ask him to be on your show. And I was the third person in line for you to sign my book, and I told you. And had I not moved on that hunch or intuition, you would not be on my show today. Isn't that interesting? So Release Your Brilliance, what a wonderful title. How did you come up with that title? And let's talk about the four steps to transforming your life.
Well, I came up with the title. I was talking with my mentor one day, a gentleman named Mark Sharona. I love
Dr. Mark Sharona.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. He is my life coach, my mentor, and probably the person who's had the most profound impact on my life within the last 11 years. We were talking one day, and he said, how are you doing? I said, you know, if I had blonde hair, blue eyes, and white skin, it would be very easy to succeed here in America. And he said, you're stuck in your mind and your body thinking that the pigmentation of your skin determines your brilliance. He says, you weren't born to fit in. You were born to be brilliant. And I said to him, I will say, how can you say that? You're a white man. And he says, when he and his wife were first married, they adopted two young African-American boys, and they began to tell them who they could be instead of who they couldn't be. And so when he shared this with me, and it goes back to what I said earlier, language is the software of the mind, it began to unlock something in me, Constance, because no one up until that point had ever told me that I was born to be brilliant. And when he said that, I just said, wow. And so for the next 7 years after those words, I was literally on a journey of trying to find my brilliance. And I'm still trying to find it. I think I just may be a little bit further down the path, but still find it. And what I realized is that everybody is born brilliant. And when I say everybody is born brilliant, everybody has the potential to unlock what is in them. And so when I say release your brilliance, unlock your brilliance, I'm inviting you to be the you were meant to be.
Interesting. Well, you talk about a diamond in the rough. Explain to our listeners, what do you mean by a diamond in the rough?
Yeah, when a diamond is found in the rough, a diamond, when it is formed, it goes through heat, pressure, and change. And I wonder how many people that are listening to us right now have experienced heat, pressure, and change within the last 18 months to 2 years.
I have my hand up.
and so it's realizing that when I'm in the rough, I have to go through the heat. I have to go through the pressure of change. I have to go through change in order to discover that everything I need to succeed is in me. But the only way I can get out of me what's in me are to experience all of these forces that seemingly are working against me. They're really working for me to polish and to shape me in the rough state so that I might brilliantly shine. And when I shine, I can help others shine as well, because you can only take people to a place you have been yourself.
That's so interesting. I love when you share in your book about how all of us are brilliant and are geniuses up until 4 years old. Share with our listeners that example.
Yeah, some of the research that I put in the book is the research of Dr. Howard Gardner, who's professor of education at Harvard. Dr. Gardner and his team of researchers did an interesting study over a 20-plus year period, and what they discovered is that children up until the age of four are operating at the genius level. This same group of children were studied in their early 20s, and only 10% were still operating at the genius level, and in their late 20s, early 30s, only 2% were still operating at the genius or the brilliance level. So the question becomes, where did the genius or brilliance go in such a, you know, short span of time?
Right.
And it didn't go anywhere, but it became buried by a society that says, color within the line, sit down, give it back, you can't do that. So what happens, the more people continue to hear what they can't do, where they can't go and who they can't become, there is a neurological path in the brain that is created that causes individuals to shut down. So instead of neurons being created to push a person into their genius, those neurons have slowed down the brain and people begin to conform to where they are instead of creating where they want to be. So conformity robs people of creativity. So what happens is I enter my adulthood, I have a glimpse of my brilliance, but there is no one to celebrate me. They only tolerate me. There is no one to push me into my destiny. And so I stumble into it or I find it over time, or I settle for a life that is instead of the life that I want to be.
Interesting. Because is it true that you were working for Disney and you decided to leave there to pursue your passion and to release your brilliance?
Absolutely. I was working for the happiest place in the world. And it was great. I love Disney. Disney is a great company. I had a great time there. But I realized that I had brilliance in me. And that if I, once I left Disney, I began to get on the path to finding my brilliance, because I realized the richest place in the entire world is the cemetery. People who took their brilliance, their insight, and their genius to the grave with them. And I refused to go to the grave with my music and my brilliance still in me. I want to die empty. So, I decided to leave to go for it.
Were you afraid? Did you have a plan before you left, or did you just sort of step out in faith?
I had an exit strategy that I had been working on for 2 years, and this is a very, very important point for everyone that's listening to us. There's a lot of people who have a lot of great ideas, and they want to launch out there and go for it. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. But at least put a strategy, put a plan in place, some tactics in place, because when you get out here, you will discover that it is very cold, and that once you are not under the auspices or the umbrella of a parent company, people don't really have a need for you unless you have something that you can offer that will make a difference in the world. So, yes, I was scared. Yes, I was afraid. But I realized in the back of my mind, and I told my wife, I said, okay, we've got 2 years to make this work. If it doesn't work, I have to go crawling back. Please, Mickey Mouse, give me my job. But I realized that I had to work. It will work if you work it. I had to work what was in me, and I had to work it out. And the more and more I began to work it out, the more my confidence, my belief in the future, believing that it's not about what you're getting, it's about what you're giving, it's about serving humanity and making a difference in the lives of others. So in 7 years, we've experienced incredible things that have happened as a result of being committed to the mission of brilliance.
Well, if you're just joining me, I'm interviewing Simon T. Bell, and he's the author of Release Your Brilliance, The Four Steps to Transforming Your Life and Revealing Your Genius to the World. Well, Simon, you talk about your universal assignment. I talk to so many people who say, I don't know what my purpose is, I don't know what my destiny is. Share with our listeners, how can they discover their universal assignment?
Well, the universal assignment, first of all, starts with four questions, and these questions tie to the first step, that is clarity, and as you know, I use the diamond as a metaphor in the book Release Your Brilliance. And the four questions that you must ask yourself to come to a place of clarity starts with, where have I been, why am I here, what can I do, and where am I going? Now, when I start with those four questions, what's packed inside of those four questions, where have I been, why am I here, what can I do, and where am I going? What's packed inside of those questions is really zeroing in on what is it that I like to do, what is it that I don't like to do, and really getting clear about what makes you come alive, what makes your heart sing, what makes your hair blow in the wind, what are your talents, what are your gifts, what are your ability? Because your universal assignment, the reason you exist in this period in history, and you were not born in the 17th century or the 18th century, but you exist now as we move into the second decade of the new millennium, is really understanding, what is it that I would do if no one paid me to do it? What would I do if I knew I couldn't fail? What are those things that are natural gifts for me that don't come natural to other people? And how do I begin to zero in on that and tap into that universal assignment? Because sometimes your universal assignment can be to one person, not to everyone. And that's the one big fallacy people have got to get over, that, you know, my picture may never be on the cover of Time magazine. It may never be on the cover of Newsweek. But when I understand that I am here for that one someone could be the neighbor across the street, the neighbor next door, or the person in the cubicle next to me. And when I understand that, it's because I've come to the truth of answering the four questions. Where have I been? Why am I here? What can I do? Where am I going?
So clarity is really important. I remember someone said to me that clarity is your ticket to success. Be very clear about what you want. And I love when you said really find out what you don't want. And when you find out what you don't want, it really sheds light on and brings more clarity to what you do want.
Yeah, clarity makes you a good steward of your time, because there's only two assets you control, your time and your energy, how you use both of them.
And so how long did it take you to really become clear about really what you wanted to do and what you feel that your a universal assignment is? Did it take you a couple of years, or was it a gradual process for you? For our listeners, the discovery part, how long does that take?
Wow. the honest truth for me, it took about 20-plus years to really undo the negative head trash that I had, the files that have been downloaded, the people who had spammed me with their negativity over time, flushing all of those things out of my system. It took me about a 20-year period. But then once I kind of got through that and I was like, okay, I think I can do something, I think I can add value, then it took me about another 7 years to run towards myself. Very important point.
And during those 7, what do you mean by run towards yourself?
Sometimes in life, we can admire others and look at others and say, wow, I want to be just like them. And we run towards the image that we see of them or what we hear about them, and we're like, whoa. And there's nothing wrong with looking up to people and admiring them. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we are running away from ourselves to run towards what we think we want, never realizing that the greatest tragedy in life is not death. The greatest tragedy in life is to be alive and not know why. So when I run towards myself, I run to the why am I here, and what's the imprint I am supposed to leave, and what's the difference I am supposed to make. And when I honor that, I can appreciate all of those that are held in high esteem, but I can even value more so that I am brilliant and it is all good.
Oh, I love that. And so during those 7 years, were you studying? Were you in counseling? Were you being mentored? Were you praying? What were you doing during those 7 years?
All of the above. I was being mentored. I was being coached. I was reading everything I can get my hands on as it relates to performance development, personal development, self-help, self-esteem, business books. I was going to seminars, sitting at the back of the room, taking copious notes. I was listening to my mentor as he began to share, and I would take notes and buy the CD and come home and listen and really do the hard work. The reality is no one was going to do the heavy lifting for me. And I, at many times, had been a motivational junkie, so I loved all of the hype. But I realized it's one thing to hear it, it's another thing to apply it.
Absolutely. And step two in transforming your life is?
Once you move from clarity, the next step is to move towards what I would call the cut of the diamond. And the cut of the diamond is to recognize every experience that I have been through, every change I am going through. Change is my friend, not my foe. Change is a brilliant opportunity to grow. So how do I begin to reframe and relanguage the cut of the diamond, what I'm experiencing, realizing that it has come to serve me, not to work against me?
So all of those difficult situations that my listeners may be experiencing, then what should they do? Should they look for the lessons that are in those experiences? What can you share with them?
Number one, what am I learning at this point? Number two, what will I do differently next time? Number three, how can I ensure that if I face this situation again, I will have a fresh new approach and outlook and how I go about doing it? Sometimes we have to realize change doesn't just happen to us. Change moves through us. And it can move through us when we understand that it is there to help push us into another dimension. I'll give you a quick example. I was on the airplane about a month ago, flying from Barbados to Miami and the Miami to L.A. And the pilot came on the air and said, it was very bumpy, and he says, I'm going to have to find a higher altitude so we can smooth things out. And I just kind of sat there, and I said, wow. I said, how many people in life, they're going through the bumpiness of setbacks and job loss and business decrease and loved ones and different things, the bumpiness. How do we begin to find a higher altitude? And that higher altitude starts with our thinking, starts with our languaging, it starts with our believing, it starts with us regaining our hope. And I said, I got to shift to a new altitude. That's how I get over the bumpiness of life.
Oh, that's great. If you're just joining me again, I'm interviewing Simon T. Bailey. He's the author of Release Your Brilliance. And if you're in the chat room, you certainly can type in a question. I will ask Simon for you. And step three is?
Step three is understanding the color of the diamond. The color has everything to do with your worldview and how you see the world. If I continue to see the world through rose-colored glasses, am I limiting myself from what is possible for me? But and I'll give you an example. I was in Paris about 10 years ago doing some work for Disney, and while I was there presenting a program to Barclays Bank and 1,000 of their leaders, I hit a moment where I'm literally in a flow. And I have a co-facilitator with me, and I totally forgot that Mary is on the stage because I was totally, like, going for it. And at the end, a couple of people came up to me and said, we had goosebumps the entire time you were talking. It wasn't from the air condition. Who are you? What's your deal? And I said, I don't know. And so I went back to my room that night in Paris, and I'm like, okay, I am in a foreign country. Something just happened. I don't know how to language it, but I know that I hit an air pocket. I hit a zone. I touched something that I had never experienced before. And what I realize is when you understand the color of the diamond, I didn't have to judge that moment. I just simply needed to embrace it and to accept it. For instance, what I have often discovered sometimes in life, we only associate with a certain group of people because they make us comfortable. And if everybody in your circle is from your ethnicity, then your circle is too small. If you are going to grow and release your brilliance, you must begin to expand your circle, expand your worldview. You must begin to think diverse. You must think of being inclusive of all manners of thinking for how they will challenge you to become all that you possibly can be.
Oh, very interesting. And step four is?
Step four is the carrot of the diamond. Now, Constance, when you see somebody that has a nice, big, fat rock on their hand, what do you normally say?
Wow, that is beautiful. How much did it cost?
And what's so interesting about that, sometimes we can go through life admiring the wow of everyone else. And we never realize that we are the wow. When you understand that you are the wow, then you begin to realize that if I'm a carrot diamond, I can be as big as I want to be. I can think as big as I want to be. But I've got to do the work on myself to become that diamond. So when you think about the carrot and you think about 1 year from now, where do you want to be? Or even 90 days from now, where do you want to be? What is it going to take? And who are the mentors in my life that will help me get there? How do I begin to establish what I would call a personal board of directors, men and women who are not necessarily yes people, but will help polish and shape you so that you can brilliantly shine from the inside out? How do I begin to think about growing my intellectual capacity? How do I think about expanding my competency so that I can be relevant at every age and every stage? And so this whole carrot piece really comes down to me thinking myself into the future and really taking a quantum leap from where I am to where I want to go.
So how do you do that? How do you decide how big you want to be in your own life? Explain that process for our listeners.
It starts by honoring your dreams. Dreams are a sneak preview of a coming attraction. 51% of our life is lived in the invisible realm. So when I go into the night season, when I lay down at night, 9 times out of 10, like last night, I had 2 dreams that I had to get up this morning, and I had to write them down in my journal because they were very, very interesting. And always remember, your dreams are about you. There may be people in your dreams, but it's what they represent to you in your dreams. Dreams are to be taken figuratively, not literally. So how do you pay attention to your dreams? That's one of the steps towards unlocking that carrot and being as big as you want to be, and whatever that means to you. The second thing you have to think about is, how do I begin to let go of baggage, issues, setbacks? How do I begin to let go of those things that may cause my foot to be stuck on the brake or might cause me to be stuck in neutral? And how you let go is by languaging that this thing no longer has power over me. I relinquish it and I let it go. That might mean meaning you need to sit down and write a letter to yourself. You might perhaps need to go to counseling, but you've got to let go of what's holding you so that you can move into a new realm of possibility and a new realm of opportunity that awaits you. And then the third thing I would say as it relates to the carrot is, how do you begin to speak to your future? And when I say speak to your future, transformation is 1 inch from your nose. Let me give you an example. A butterfly, when it is first in that stage of, you know, going through being that caterpillar, it lives in what it spits out of its mouth. It lives in what it spits out of its mouth. So if transformation is 1 inch from my nose, that means the words that I say out of my mouth are like a boomerang. When I say them, I will see them again. So how do I begin to speak to the future that I want to live in instead of the future that might be created by someone else?
That's interesting. Well, we have a question in the chat room that says, how can our comfort zone block us? My job is great, but I know I deserve better. My home is okay, but I know I deserve better. I want to change, but I think about the times. Help me to step out of my own way, please.
Well, number one, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want to get out of the comfort zone? You've got to start there first. So if you really say, you know what, yes, I've got a great home, what does a better home look like? And what questions are you going to begin to ask differently to say, how do we go from good to great to brilliant? How do we go from better to brilliant? And what does that look like to you? Because inside of that, there is the gap. And once you say, you know what, I think this relationship, this marriage, this family, we can go to a whole nother level. What does that look like? Describe it in detail. As it relates to your job, it's comfortable right now, and certainly who wants to change and rock the boat during this current economy? But if you realize that you have the capacity to do more, to release more, then why wouldn't you step up? Don't play it safe. Rock the boat and begin to say, how can I add more value? How can I be relevant? How can I move out of this comfort zone? And it really is you coming to a place of challenging yourself and saying, enough is enough. I want to go for it. I want to stretch out. I've got an appetite for the spectacular. So it starts with your questions, but even more importantly, it starts with your actions and your follow-up. And that means tomorrow morning, getting up, put one foot in front of the other, moving towards it.
Well, interestingly enough, I want to talk about your spirituality and the role that your relationship with God or your spirituality played in your success. And what can you share with our listeners about how they can begin to create spiritual wealth? What does that mean?
When I think about God, many times as a person who has grown up in Christianity and as a follower of Christ, I realize that sometimes we are waiting for God to crack the sky and to do something. And God is waiting on us to make a move. And I have come to the realization that God believes in us, but he is waiting for us to believe that he believes in us. Mm. And when we cross that threshold, we will move to what I would call spiritual wealth, where we will realize that on our money, on the back of our American currency, it says, "In God we trust." So that means I trust the God who created the seed, that created the tree, that created the paper, that printed the money. I don't trust the money and forget about the source of the seed, where it came from. So when I pursue money, I realize my true pursuit is in God because money came out of God.
Very interesting. And so what are your daily spiritual practices? Do you have a routine? What do you do on a daily basis spiritually?
Well, every morning I get up and I spend quiet time in prayer, meditation, thinking about the day, being grateful for the day. I have a series of scriptures and prayers that I say verbally out loud to really set my internal intention for the day and to really just honor and to worship and thank God for another day, because so many people laid down the night before and didn't get up. And then the next thing that I go into is just affirming the day and really believing in what I would call Kairos moments. Kairos moments is a whole nother level above Cronus time. Kairos time and speaking Kairos moments into existence is really tapping back into what I said earlier about serendipity and synchronicity, when everything happens at once, and really being open to that, not just going through the day to be going through the day, but really expecting miracles and exciting things to happen throughout the day.
So do you expect miracles every day?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Absolutely.
Something good is going to happen to us today.
I always say that, and invariably it happens. I want you to share a little bit about how can we develop high-impact habits. And I remember in your book you said you don't determine your future, your habits determine your future.
Yes, when you think about high-impact habits, it starts with, if there are 24 hours in a day, how do I deploy my very best energy into each hour of the day? And how do I make each hour of the day my employee? How do I begin to use my time wisely? Am I a morning person? Am I an evening person? How do I set aside quiet time throughout the day, or at least throughout the week, just to think and be silent? How do I begin to ensure that this is the very best use of my time, which will yield a result that I need? So in developing high-impact habits, it's looking at, what do I do with every hour of the day? What needs to be eliminated? What needs to start? What needs to continue? What needs to be modified? And how do I begin to do that every day? Because the quality of your time ties into the quality of your results. So it starts with your time, and then you deploy your energy into that time, which yields a result. So if I'm to develop high-impact habits, I have to say, what habits no longer work for me? What habits do work for me? How do I increase more of those habits because they produce a result? Here's another way of thinking about it. 80% of your results comes from 20% of your core habits and activities. So how do I leverage more of my time and energy in those habits which drive the results I want?
Well, you talked earlier about meditation. You said you meditate every day. Share with our listeners, maybe for somebody who may not be familiar with that, how can they begin to do that, and what do you mean by meditation?
Yeah, a lot of times when people hear meditation, they're kind of like, woo, you know, it's kind of like, you know, woo-woo stuff that's California West Coast stuff.
And, right.
And, no, it really is. And so let me just cite a couple of resources. The National Institutes of Health, based in Washington, D.C., the University of Massachusetts, and the MindBody Medical Institute at Harvard University report that meditation increases brainwave activity, it enhances intuition, and it improves concentration. So let's start, first of all, with the science behind meditation before we just say meditate, okay? And there's a ton of resources out there, but when I talk about meditating, here's the simple fact. Take 15 minutes tomorrow morning, get up early. Take 5 minutes just to quiet the internal chatter. Come to a place of silence. Have a notebook with you, or if you journal, and say, what am I thinking, what am I feeling, what am I sensing, what do I believe about the day? Because how you start the day determines the day. Then take the next 15 minutes to find something that inspires you. The word inspire means to breathe life into. So in your meditation time, find that thing that inspires you, that uplifts you. And I would encourage you to begin to read it out loud. Reading it out loud is about understanding that we are a spirit being having a human experience instead of a human being having a spiritual experience. So when I begin to read something, it's impacting my spirit from the inside out. And then the third thing is, after I have meditated, after I've read something that inspires me, I then stretch, I loosen up, and I get ready for the day, because how I start the day determines the day. That's all a part of meditation. It's a form of what I would call spiritual yoga.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a form of spiritual yoga when I understand how to really meditate from the inside out.
Well, you know, I can truly say that meditation has really taken me to another level.
Mm.
I practice it every day. So are you living the life of your dreams, Simon?
I am. Every day I pinch myself. I can't believe I'm doing this.
And so what's the most exciting thing that you've done lately? Share with our listeners.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe
wow.
You dreamed about it and you planned it and now you're living it out.
Wow. You know, there's so many interesting things. But a friend of mine called me a couple of weeks ago who lives in L.A. and she was having her 40th birthday party. And she was having a group of people from all over the world fly into L.A. So my bride and I, my bride of 17 years, Renee, we got on the plane and flew to L.A. for the weekend. And we stayed in a very, very exclusive place that is by invitation only or members only. And it was just a wonderful first-class experience from start to finish. It's something I've always dreamed about doing. But to actually experience it was kind of like deja vu.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it was
because
great.
Really what you shared with our listeners earlier, you probably had already gone there in your mind.
Absolutely.
You had already been in your future. Now you're just living it out.
Right.
That is so interesting. So what does it feel like to be wealthy?
You know what? If when you're wealthy, you realize that you control money. Money doesn't control you. But you come to a place of peace where you're not worried about how much more you're getting, but you really start thinking about what you can give away, how you can make a difference, how you can add value. And what you discover, the more you give away, the more you attraction to your life because of the whole law of reciprocity. So being wealthy, first of all, is a spiritual thing. It starts spiritually, but then it absolutely impacts your natural life because you're not so busy trying to get the house and the car and all of the things or stuff. But you know what? Here's the thing. Sometimes after you get it, sometimes you say, why did I get that? Why did I buy that? Why do I need that?
I understand. It's so interesting.
And it's really coming to a place to say, you know what? I'm comfortable in the skin I'm in, and I don't need any more stuff to make me feel better about me. I already know who I am. So wealth is just a tool that can be used to advance the kingdom.
So what does it feel like to be one of the top 25 hot speakers in the U.S.?
You know, it really doesn't faze me because I still have to get up every single day, put my pants on, put my shoes on, just like every other guy.
Uh-huh.
And it is a pleasure to be recognized by your peers, but it doesn't stop the hard work that I still need to apply and do every single day to keep my feet on the ground and to realize that it can all end tomorrow. And what was the difference that I made in the world, not just the accolades that I received, that I help people release their brilliance, that I help people tap into a greater reality. And I can say even right now, if I was to check out tonight, we've touched a ton of people
who
are doing incredible things.
Well, when you talk about serving and giving back, share with our listeners the importance of service and giving back.
When you give, you live. Some people, when they understand the more I give, the better I live, it pays you an intrinsic value. There's something about human nature. When I do good for someone else, I just feel better. I think better. I act better because I realize it's not all about me, but it's about what I can do for another person. So when you seek to give from a place of authenticity, from a place of not looking at what you can get in return, you just start to float. And I know that sounds so like new agey and so out there, but when you really, really start to give from a place of love and care and helping others, you can't help but transform from the inside out, and your life can't help but be blessed. Because the giving, when you give to others, it's like you literally hugged your own self. It's like you put your arms around yourself and gave yourself a big hug. That's the best way I can describe giving and serving, because it's so much bigger than you. And really, you tap into the heartstrings of God, because God is a giver, and that's why he gave his son. So if we realize and apply that we are made in his image and after his likeness, we can't help but be like our daddy.
That's so true. And somebody in the chat room said that right now they're helping addicts find their path to recovery. Mm-hmm. And he says, I may be below the poverty level, but I'm happier than I've ever been, and I'm rich.
And you're wealthy. Absolutely. He is wealthy.
Absolutely.
Right where he is. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So that's just interesting. Well, can you believe we only have 8 minutes left? I can't believe. So tell our listeners how can they get your book, Release Your Brilliance. If they wanted you to come to their organization and speak, how can they reach you about your services, your products, your goods, et cetera?
Sure. If they want to invest in our book, not just for themselves but for others, they can go to Amazon.com and just put in Release Your Brilliance, and they will see my book. It will pop up there, and it's in hardcover, and it's published by HarperCollins. I would encourage them to get it. It will absolutely change their life. They can also, if they want to book me to come into their organization, they can go to SimonTBailey.com. T is for terrific. Bailey is B-A-I-L-E-Y. A little dry humor for you.
I said I wanted to hear you laugh. That's so funny.
SimonTBailey.com. And all our information is there. But if you'd like to communicate with me directly to have me come into your organization, just send me an email, simon@simontbailey.com. Also, when they go to our website, they can sign up for our free e-newsletter. That will absolutely touch them. We touch hundreds of thousands of people every other week around the world with our newsletter. They can sign up for that. They can also follow me on Facebook. They can follow me on Twitter. On Twitter, I'm Brilliant Tweet. And then, of course, if they're on SimonTBailey.com, they can order a ton of our products and everything and go from there.
So what does the future hold for you, Simon? What are you going to be doing in the future?
Well, I'm excited about our new book that we are launching next year, so I have to come back and talk to you about the new book. But the new book is going to be called Simon Says Shift. You stayed in it long enough. Yeah. And
Simon Says Shift, what an interesting title.
Yeah, in fact, I just sent out a message to people not too long ago who follow me on Facebook and Twitter, and I said, shift happens when the shifted decide to become the shifter. And so we're going to teach people how to become a shifter instead of being shifted.
Interesting. So we have about 6 minutes left. In summary, what a closing thoughts would you like to leave with our listeners?
Wow, there's so much that I could say, but I think I'll say this, and I want to tell it to in a form of a story. Good people are being laid off in several industries, and many people are who are lucky enough to still be working on being asked to take pay cuts, and some businesses that were thriving are just surviving, and they're hanging on by life support. And what's interesting, I was talking with a friend of mine not too long ago, and he said something to me that totally rocked my world. I mean, it just absolutely set me on fire. And he said that in the winter season, a tree has to look for food, you know, and, you know, the whole process of photosynthesis. And he says everything changes for this tree because it's accustomed to trapping sunlight in its leaves via chlorophyll, which gives the leaves their green pigment, and it transforms that chlorophyll along with other viable ingredients into food. Now, this is normal for the tree, and it doesn't have to think about it. It's second nature. And what's interesting, in the winter, there isn't enough sunlight to produce food, nor are there any leaves on the tree to trap the light. So the tree at this time becomes almost dead on the outside, but internally it begins to search for answers. As a result, it's forced to find food another way. So now here's the big thing, Constance. The tree must push its roots deep into the soil to find enough minerals, salt, and water to sustain itself. Because the tree has spent the winter anchoring itself deeper and deeper into the soil and finding its sustenance in times of scarcity, it will be able to grow and thrive in the spring and summer months. Its fruit will be of an incredible quality because the nutrients that helped produce it came from the deep places within the recesses of the earth. Now, what's interesting is if you have been forced out of what you've known into unfamiliar territory, then just realize that you are in the winter season of your journey. And many of you are wondering why they let you go. And that's not the question. Why did they put you on the street along with millions of others of folks that are jobless? That is not the question. The real question is, what took them so long? Some of you outgrew your companies a long time ago, and you chose, however, to stay planted in soil that could no longer sustain the particular brilliance of your fruit. The reality is that you grew too big for your place, but you were comfortable. So you chose not to make a change. You chose not to make waves. Now the waves and the changes have come to you. And I submit to you that at certain times in our lives, we have to be replanted into a new garden of thinking in order for our leaves to bloom and grow. At certain times in our lives, we have to be uprooted from an existing system that can only take us so far, because we have to be introduced into a new sprinkler system of thinking. So I submit to you that don't think of this winter season as an ending. Think of it as a becoming, because you are getting ready to come into the greatest decade of your journey, where you will release your brilliance from the inside out.
Powerful. What can I say, great man of God? You have just really blessed our listeners all over the world, and I just want to thank you so much for coming on my show and sharing with people and just changing and transforming our thinking, our believing. And, of course, if you change your thinking and believing, you'll change what you manifest. And when you release your new book, I would love to have you back on my show.
I'll definitely come back for sure.
Thank you, Simon. Be blessed.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll talk.
All right. Bye-bye.
Oh, man, wasn't that just a great show? We've been listening to Release Your Brilliance with Simon T. Bailey, and I'm going to encourage you to really go to Amazon.com and really pick up his book. I've read it twice, and it's really great. Well, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show, and I just want to thank you so much for joining me tonight. And I am on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mm-hmm. 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can go to my website at www.fulfillingyourpurpose.com, And remember, next Sunday we're going to be having Rebecca Hansen on, who will be sharing with us about the law of attraction. Well, it has been just a great and extraordinary evening. And this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show, saying to you that if you truly change what you think and you truly change what you believe, then you will change what you manifest. I just want to thank you so much for listening again, and God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com.